Welcome to Here We Sew Again, the podcast where three sewists from different backgrounds discuss all things sewing. I'm Amanda Carestio.
I'm Meg Healy.
And I'm Kate Zeinhardt.
Today on the podcast, we are talking about treating yourself with sewing. I love this topic. We'll discuss
me too.
Yeah, we'll talk about what that means to each of us, how often we do it, and why it's important. And then, as always, we'll share a little something in our Sew Inspo segment. But before we jump in, how are y'all doing?
I'm doing well. Just a quick check-in for my sewing room. It smells like coconut mango today.
Thank you. That's lovely.
You're welcome. It's a very nice fragrance. Mm.
Oh, I love anything mango smelled.
That is awesome. I feel like I have been sewing a lot, but I don't know what I've made. Does that ever happen to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Oh, but I sewed something. I've been in such a slump, but I actually sewed my my little pillow. I posted about it on our Patreon blog, if you saw that. But here's my little pin pillow, which is hand embroidered by me.
Nice. And,
I think it looks pretty good. And it was a short project, but it was I successfully sewed something, so I'm feeling great about that.
Sometimes it just starts with that little, like that kind of little project that just gets you back into it.
Totally.
Yes, exactly.
Like a quick little win, and then you can kind of like get your momentum back.
Yes, exactly. And I kind of feel that way. I've actually cut out another project, and so hopefully I will continue to work on that as the week progresses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just finishing up. Behind me, I have some curtains for the nursery. I was sent a bunch of like cute fabric from Art Gallery Fabrics. I love their fabrics.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, me too.
Yeah, but it was like a bunch of like different prints. So I just like cut up strips of each. So it's going to be like strips of different prints in like greens and stuff. And yeah, because we're keeping all the walls white, like our greens cribs. So we're like adding color in terms of like curtains and art and stuff like that. So he can grow up and we can, you know, ask him like, what color do you want your bedroom?
Yeah.
Right.
That's a good idea. When
we covered it in green because of mommy. But if you prefer a different color,
exactly.
If you dare prefer a different color.
If you dare. Yeah, because I had this princess pink bedroom when I was little and it was like it was her dream kid's bedroom.
Right.
And I hated it. So we're like, we'll just keep the walls white and then add color. So I've been sewing curtains and it's been like super fun. And oh my gosh, I just got my phone lit up. He goes, what are you doing? He must hear me talking.
I think he wants to come and hang out again.
I know. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like last time.
Yeah.
Last time Julian stuck his head in the door, like, what's going on in here? And I did end up cutting it out of the recording. See if you can see if you listeners can figure out where that happened.
Yeah.
But
oh, that was funny. Yeah. He just woke up and like, since you can see my door, he just got up from a nap and he walked in. He was just in his jammy shorts, but it looks like he wasn't wearing anything. It was so funny.
But, it was hilarious. My gosh.
So, So I'm sewing nursery curtains.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cute.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's jump in and talk. So what's new? It looks like you guys have some good finds and I have nothing. Sorry about that.
Oh, no.
No worries. No,
okay. What? You mean you don't have anything? No, that's fine.
It's okay. I have two again, so we're good.
Yeah.
I have two as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you want to start, Meg, or you want me to start?
Let's have you start.
All right. I got an email from Tasuti, who I they do fabric, right? And yeah. they also do patterns. And so they have a new set that kind of goes together. It's the Arkell shirt and the Bailey shorts. So the shirt is a pretty standard button down with a notched collar, just a really cute, comfy looking shirt for the spring and summer. And then the Bailey shorts are... They kind of feel a little 30s to me. They're kind of fitted around the waist, and then they kind of go out into not really a skirt shape, but sort of a little flare. And I just think they're super cute. So, and you have they're really, really cute. They have a set sewn in the same fabric. So they're like a little romper suit thing going on, but, you know, detached. Or you can make them individually, and I just like them. I think they're good.
They're so cute. I feel like they look kind of pajama-y together.
Oh, totally.
Which I'm yes, totally into. Like I also like that they're separates, but you could wear them together and have like a mm-hmm. coordinating set. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I love them. They look so comfy and cute.
Yes. Well, and you know, the other thing that I think appealed to me about this, I didn't do a whole lot of fashion examination when I was in Europe last year. But one of the things that did strike me was that, especially in Barcelona in Spain, I saw a lot of men wearing shirts, like button-down shirts and then matching shorts, same fabric.
Oh, that's... I love that.
Yes. Often in the same print. So that it was really obvious mm-hmm. that they were wearing, you know, like sets like that. Yeah. And this really reminds me of that, these two patterns together. So, yeah, I like it. You can be a little European if you want.
I want to make my husband a set like this.
I was yes. just thinking that I need to make Julian a set like this.
I mean, I have
and
no
Julian
idea.
Would wear it.
Yeah.
Oh, he would. Totally wear
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I don't know about Billy. I mean, if it was in the right fabric, probably, but he'd probably be more prone to wearing them as separates, and he'd love them as separates.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So cute.
Oh, so cute. Well, was that your two? I guess it was like a two
yeah,
in one.
Two for,
yeah. Yeah.
Kind of a two in one.
That's such a cute name, an Arky. I was like, oh, that's so cute. Now I'm just looking at everything as like names. Like we have a name, but we're like, we need that one backup name.
Yeah, you
we're
do.
Like, what if like they're just not that name, you know? So we mm-hmm. only have one. So we just need some backups. I was like, Arky's cute. Anyway, I know I look at everything, like even like no shit, like anything I look, I'm like, that could be a cute name.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, so this first one I saw Mimi G just sewed it on her Instagram, and I just think it's so like cute and fun, and just this like waist detail of like the cutout but with like the straps around. It's a McCall's pattern, and I was just like in awe of it. I just loved the detail around mm-hmm. the waist. It would be some interesting tan lines in the summer, but that's fine. I just like it just like seemed just like a really cute just like summer party dress pattern, and I just really liked that detail.
That is
it
neat.
Was just so huh. interesting.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's got a very like vintage 50s vibes,
yeah.
except for the cutout. So it's like yeah. vintage with a modern twist for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I just saw her version, and I was just like, this is so striking. And I was looking at, I was like, I need to know what pattern she used. So I just thought this was really cute. And she made the one without like the puffy sleeve, and mm-hmm. I like kind of the sleek sleeve with it. Even the long sleeve is really cute. So it might be like a fun, you know, summer make.
Yeah. Yeah.
something fun, and still has some, you know, gathers around the belly and just, you know, the high cutout. So I just thought that was really cool. It's just interesting when you see, you know, we see so many patterns and design and details. When you see something new,
yeah.
it's like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one, I had my, I love this pattern company. It's new. It's a tint of mint patterns. And it's just like really simple kind of on trend designs. And I loved this like Paloma ruched cutout. I guess I'm in the cutouts now. Yeah. I just love this little set. I guess it's just super like White Lotus to me.
Mm-hmm. The, like, yeah, kind of resorty.
Resorty, yeah. But I was thinking this might be my like baby shower make, because you could, the cutout looks like above the belly. Yep. Like I could see it really cute. And my baby shower is going to be in the beginning of April. So it's still a bit chilly out and it looks like a nice comfy knit. So I want to get like a nice cute green knit fabric and make this for the shower. I think it would be really cute because the cutout would be above the belly and just like a stretchy skirt, and it's attached at the back, so it's just like a cutout in the front, but you could make it a separate. So I just really liked this. I like that bust gathering detail, and I just really liked this pattern. I believe it's their latest release, and I want to make it. It looks really easy too. I love a knit dress like with elastics and stretchiness. Yes.
So fun.
I know,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So those are my two. I guess, yeah, I'm super into, like, cutouts. I didn't even realize that both I picked, like, I'm only putting that together now.
Well, we like what we like, I guess.
Yeah. I'm always drawn to cutouts. I don't know that I've ever actually made something with, like, a dramatic cutout and or if I've worn that item. I don't think I have.
Mm-hmm. Except a cold shoulder cutout. We all know your feelings.
I like the like belly cutouts, the mid,
yeah,
the torso cutouts better, I think. But again, I don't know. I feel like it probably gets hot enough here that I would, that might be nice to have like a little, yeah, bit of open airflow. I don't know. I'm curious now. Might have to try it out.
Yeah, I always think of back cutouts really, yeah, striking. It's like when you turn around, I always love a back cutout.
I'm seeing a lot of those actually too this season. Yeah. Like really, mm-hmm, like full coverage up front, and yep, then you look back and it's like a deep cut back with, yep, straps and, mm-hmm, really like a lot of drama in the back. I like that. Again, I don't know if I would wear it. I'm curious.
All right. Yeah. Well, hey.
Those are some awesome finds, and I'm very proud of it.
Good job.
Shall we take a quick break and then come back with our main segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
In life, and especially in sewing, I'm a big, big fan of treat yourself.
However, everyone's version of treat yourself is slightly different. It could be purchasing and using a special fabric, taking on a really involved project for yourself, sewing a dream project that you can never make time for, or many other things. Let's talk a little bit about what treat yourself means to each of us and maybe how that's changed over time. I'm interested to hear from both of you what your approach to this topic is. So let's start there. What does treat yourself mean to you? And we can talk a little bit about life, but I was thinking mostly sewing and how that has changed for you.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this a little bit and waiting for something to jump out at me. But it's the more I think about it, it's something that I've talked about, I think, a lot in the past podcasts. I used to be a theater sewist. I used to be a stitcher in a theater. And I spent a lot, like when I was learning to sew and then for professionally for years, I sewed for other people. And I sewed beautiful things and I sewed really not beautiful things sometimes, usually on purpose. That I didn't usually make non-beautiful things accidentally. And I sewed interesting things and I created some really cool stuff, but in the end, you know, it was always somebody else who was wearing it. And, so to me, treating myself starts with sewing for myself. And that is most of what I do now. So I do a lot of treating of myself. But that's kind of where it starts. I think there's more to it than that. I do love sewing with a nice fabric. That always feels really special to me. Like sewing with silk is always like an extra treat, even though it can be a little nerve-wracking sometimes. Sewing something costumey always feels like a treat to me, like when I made my Bridgerton dress, or occasionally I'll make something to wear to the Renaissance Festival or something. And that always feels a little special because it's for a special occasion of some sort. But yeah, in the end, I always feel like I'm indulging myself a little bit when I make something for me, which is most of my sewing. I'm a very indulgent sewist.
Me too.
I feel like fabric, like shopping, is like the most like treating myself thing. It's like buying fabric is like, that's like a, you know, a really treat. You know what? I'm going to buy some like new, do some online shopping, or just like a real treat your myself like moment is just like walking into a fabric store with absolutely no shopping like list and just wandering around and it's like not like, you know, for a project for work. It's just like, I'm just gonna go in and just see what's like, see what's cute, see what's on sale. Like I love treating myself. But for me, I think it's definitely, I'm gonna learn how it's gonna change. Like having a
child. I was thinking about that for you.
Like it's gonna be different in like, oh my gosh, like a couple months, which is so I think again I'm gonna be using sewing as, because I'm gonna be off work, and so sewing is not going to be work for me. So I feel like I'm gonna really try like make it, you know, a really like making something for myself and just some me time, because I know I'm reading just so many like, you know, mommy blogs and everything, how like me, like you time or me time just for mom is so important, like to keep your just like mental health, like it's just like, you know, whether it's a bath or just like sewing in the studio. So I feel like it's definitely going to change for me, which I'm excited about. But still, like, I think the ultimate treat myself is I love fabric shopping.
Well, and Meg, you reminded me of the other thing I was thinking about and promptly forgot. I hope you don't mind me jumping in, Amanda.
Oh, yeah. No.
But both of you sew for work. Right. And I don't anymore.
Right.
My job right now, occasionally when I'm freelancing for CME, there's something I have to do. But most of the time, most of what I sew is for myself. And that is indulgent too, because sewing something that you have to sew for work is different from sewing totally. Something that you just want to sew.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. I think mine has definitely changed over time. And I do, I hadn't really thought about like having kids and how important it was for me to sew for myself during yeah. that time while they were young. And I think I've got my notes for later and I'll probably dive in a little bit deeper, but treating myself during that time also looked like making clothes for myself that felt good and fit my body right. after going through all of yeah. those, you know, crazy hormones and changes and all of that. So it definitely, I feel like the kiddos will definitely impact your relationship with sewing. And it may, you know, it may be that just getting time in your space and organizing your fabrics and being yep. in your studio is a treat, and that's all you get, but it'll help.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about it, like I do think that it probably depends on where you are in your sewing journey and like why you're sewing, if you're sewing based on things you need or things you want, or and I do feel like at some point in my sewing journey, treating myself was sewing like impractical one-offs with like a wild fabric that I'd found, and I sewed it into something fun to wear to a concert that night. Or I did make myself an ECAT robe, and that wasn't really impulse. That was part of one of our podcast sewing challenges, one of our role challenges. And that was not really necessarily a need. It was a want, and I have to say that robe is quite lovely. But it was like an extra just because I want to have something to swan around in a little bit. I do think at some points in my sewing journey, treating myself has looked more like sewing really practical items. Like I was thinking about those things that you spend time sewing, but you could find them ready to wear easily and somewhat cheaply, but sewing them for yourself and wearing them feels really fulfilling. So I was thinking about jeans and like me-made undies and even like really basic t-shirts, like making a bazillion of your favorite t-shirt is kind of awesome and like a treat, really a treat. And then, of course, these days, just sewing for myself feels like a treat. I think that through the fall and winter, I made maybe two or three things for myself. And that was a really small number compared to where I was before, just because I was spending most of my time sewing for my business. And I'm kind of okay with that. Like, it was kind of okay to like reset to that. And because I don't need a ton of clothes, but I also think that I got kind of bored with my fall and winter clothes. And so this spring, I'm going to try to build in a little bit more sewing for me time. But yeah, I think it changes. I think it depends on where you are in your life, where you are in your sewing journey. And so it can mean a bunch of different things. One thing I did want to talk about too is, think about like a treat yourself project that you've made. And is that always a want? Can it be a need? Which have you found to be more fulfilling? That's deep. I don't know, man. It's deep, deep thoughts. For me, it can be both. It can be either, you know? And yeah. I do have to say that in thinking about those kind of impractical items that I've made for myself, like those one-offs, like I need something for a concert tonight, or I don't know why, but I have to have this fabric and I have to make this shirt for myself. sometimes I don't end up wearing those. And that can be kind of like, other than that initial time. And that can kind of be a letdown, you know, like I wanted it in the moment. And then after I wore it, I was, I think I've shared, I never have taken pictures, but I made some like swishy cat pants and I had to have them. And then I wore them once and that was it. But I don't know. Yeah. Has that happened to y'all?
I think it has to some extent. I mentioned making like the Renaissance Festival costumes and like my Bridgerton dress. I made that specific. I kind of wanted to make something like it. And then I found out about the Bridgerton experience and that it was coming to Denver. And I'm like, I have to do this and wear it to the Bridgerton experience. And this is so much fun and it's so great. And now that's over and it's done. And maybe it'll come through again and we'll go again. I don't know. It's possible, but it's also possible I'll never wear it again anywhere. Who knows? And for me, that was worth it because I got to go to I got to go to this dress up situation wearing something that was pretty period accurate, and that kind of thing is important for me. And I got to swan around in my dress and people called me, you know, told me it was pretty and I felt pretty and I loved it. And so that was totally worth it. And wearing something that I made to the Renaissance Festival once a year is also, I spend a lot of time there looking at all the pretty outfits and thinking I could make that. And so wearing something that I did make is always like, I could make that and I did make it. So I'm not sure that actually answered the question. I don't know that there's ever, you know, like a super special project that I need. But at the same time, I feel like sometimes projects become super special because I made them, or because I needed them. Does that make sense? Like, I made a pair of Pagosa shorts before my Italian cruise or my European cruise. And I was not even sure I'd wear them because I wasn't sure what the temperature was going to be like. And I wore them all the time and they were so comfy, and I was so happy that I had taken that time to make that pair of shorts. And so I haven't worn them since I got back in November, and I can't wait until it's warm enough to wear those again because I love them.
I kind of feel that way, and I didn't think about this until you said that, Kate. I kind of feel that way about me made shorts. Like, I just don't tend to invest a lot of time and energy into shorts because when I'm wearing them during the summer, it's usually for like outdoorsy type stuff or like just not very, very casual, like hanging out in the backyard or yard work. But I made two pairs at the start of last summer and I wore them all summer long. And I don't think I really thought about it as a treat yourself kind of a thing, but I'm so glad that I invested in some knee-made shorts, and I have a few pairs now that are in rotation. And that, I don't know, that's, it's pretty hot here in the summer. Like, it's nice to have that.
It is
available to me because I don't buy ready to wear shorts either. I just don't think I had a lot of shorts.
Yeah, I'm not a shorts fan, but I like the shorts that you shared. I like flowy shorts that can like look like skirts. I love those. Well, you said, Amanda, like I didn't know really how to answer this question. What you said totally resonated with me. Like, when I think of a treat yourself project, like I think of this jumpsuit that I made, and I thrifted this like really cute fabric, and I was so excited. I had no idea where or when I was going to wear it, and I never worn it, and I just like, it's kind of like, like it was fun to make, like maybe I'll, you know, but now it doesn't fit me. So I never got to wear it before. Like, some adjustments, but so like that didn't fit a need. It was just a want, but the most recent one did fit a need and a want. It was kind of like I sewed up that kind of black stretch velvet maternity dress, and it was a need of like needing something that, you know, fit my belly, that was like fun and like elegant. And so I wore it to a holiday party, then I re-wore it to like the Ditto launch event. Yep. And so it was kind of, it was really fun to make and like something fun to like, you know, add and gathers for my bit, like making it, hacking it to be maternity. And it was like a really like treat myself kind of project because it was something fancy and for something, but it was also a need. So that, yeah, it's it, but I didn't think about that, but it is kind of a letdown if you indulge in mm-hmm. like, it was great to, I don't regret so, yeah, but it's kind of
absolutely,
I wish there was like a, I don't know, but that could just be something that I need to look for more just in life to fulfill sewing needs, but just like doing more stuff, like, you know, making more play, like even if it's just like a lunch date or something.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm gonna treat myself by a new outfit, you know, mm-hmm. for this, or I don't use that fabric. So that was mm-hmm. interesting. Yeah. But I could, can definitely be a need and, you know, and it's super fulfilling. Mm-hmm.
This has spawned even more questions and I'm loving this. The first one is, when you sew like a treat yourself project, does it tend to be something really involved, or is it like a quick sew, or is it a little bit of both? For me, I think it's a quick sew. It's like a,
yeah,
I want this, I need it, I'm going to strike while the inspiration and the kind of impulse is there, and then I'm done with it. How about y'all?
I feel like for me, it's more likely to be something a little bit more involved or just in some way different mm-hmm. from what I usually make. Something that, you know, requires some thought, some concentration, some special fitting, like a muslin even. Those kind of things, you know, it's like if I'm making something that feels like a treat, then I should be putting a little bit more into it, I think, is how my brain works. But like I said, sometimes it's just I made another pair of Pagosa pants that are a little bit shorter than yeah. normal, and that turned yeah. out to be a real treat. So mm-hmm. I think it can go mm-hmm. either way. I mean, yeah. sometimes if it's like a special fabric, taking something and making, you know, something I've sewn a billion times, and it's really easy, but having it made out of that special fabric, that's also a treat for me. So my answer, I guess, is both, actually.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's just, it's a very different mindset. Like, treating myself isn't sometimes just, I think of a treat yourself as like something you don't have to think. It's just time, just escaping in your yeah. studio, not thinking too much mm-hmm. and instead of be like, I want to build a new skill, like that I think is like a different for me, it's a different category. So I think for me, treating yourself is like, I'm gonna make just like the fifth Sadie jumpsuit, like I'm just not gonna think about it. I know I love it, I have this I just want to sew, and like I know I'll wear it, I'll know I love it. Because even during being pregnant, like just my mind isn't working the way it yeah. usually is. And I'm so busy, like just trying to prepare for mat leave, that I needed maternity jeans. I know I can't always wear sweatpants out. And so I treated myself to purchasing ready to wear yeah. maternity jeans.
Yep.
I was yes. like, but then I used them. It's kind of like I had,
yep.
I used them to hack, like, cause I couldn't find just like a sewing pattern for maternity jeans. Mm-hmm. Like, one that I liked. And so I actually used it to, I kind of hacked it. And so that was one of the episodes I'm filming, but I thrifted a pair of jeans and I hacked them into maternity. Cause I'm very visual. I need to like dissect and take measurements. So it was kind mm-hmm. of a little bit of both. But yeah, I was like, I'm going to treat myself to not sewing maternity jeans right now. I'm just going to buy them. So that was, yeah, but.
Oh, that's great. That's fascinating, though, because like it sounds like for you, treating yourself is treating yourself to not thinking not too hard sewing. About it.
Exactly. And not yeah, for me.
Sometimes.
Yeah, not sewing sometimes, which is totally reasonable. Mm-hmm. Totally reasonable. I treat myself to underwear I didn't sew myself mm-hmm. all the time. But for me, yeah, if it's a treat, then I like need to put extra brain power into it uh-huh. Sometimes. So that's really fascinating how different yeah. we are in that way. Yeah. Yeah,
I knew this conversation was going to get so
deep. It's so deep. I was thinking about you, what you were saying, Meg, too. Like, for me, it's also like I don't have to look at the instructions. Like, that is favorite kind of sewing. Mm-hmm. That's probably why I do like love sewing for business, because I don't have to look instructions. It's all about the process and just kind of going through the steps without having to really think about it too hard. So. One other question that I'm throwing in last minute, and then we'll continue with the planned portion of this segment, was, is treating yourself in sewing ever about like new tools, a new sewing machine, updating your iron, which I desperately need to do, buying new pens? Like, I keep seeing people on Instagram sharing that they finally bought new pins. Why did they wait so long? Like, we need a holiday for this, y'all. It's so easy to forget.
You should start like a hashtag new year, new pin. Like every year, every January, everyone buys new sewing pins.
Yes. I just forget. And I'm sure there's other things like your iron. Like, you're probably dealing with an iron that has issues. Maybe y'all love your iron, but like, it's so easy to just make do with what you have. And sometimes it's important to do that. But sometimes, you know, a tool upgrade is in order. Do y'all do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, definitely.
I buy new scissors on occasion. I have so many pairs of scissors. Like, I don't need them. But like, a new pair of scissors can be really nice. Can be a treat.
Well, and it's so funny for me because I have my pair of gingers that I swear by. Mm-hmm. I love my gingers. They're my sewing shears, right? I also have like six pairs of Fiskars that I have just in case, of different prints and colors. And so I think there's a pair with cats. If I bought those, maybe I didn't. I can't remember. I've got a nice green pair that you would love, Meg. And it's like here's the thing. I almost always cut out using a rotary cutter.
Mm-hmm.
I have all of these scissors. I have the scissors I absolutely use. I have like six pairs of backup scissors, and what I actually use is a rotary cutter. But dang, I love new scissors.
Scissors.
They're so good.
Yep.
Scissors, pins. I like getting new marking tools. I'm always trying new marking tools.
Really?
And oh my gosh. Hmm. It's like, ooh, maybe this will work better than everything else that I have. It's ridiculous. And I mean, I usually use friction pens, and I'm constantly getting new different kinds of friction pens. It's like, ooh, this one's a marker. This one's a thin marker. This one's a ballpoint. This one is, I don't know, something else entirely. Which one works best? Which color works best? Like, I have literally a cup here of friction pens, and it doesn't hold all of the ones that I have.
Wow, that's amazing.
Have a separate cup for my friction pens in my sewing room.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh,
I love all the stuff around. So like I love like a new tool that makes like a tedious task like easy, like, you know, like a scrap turner or something. And in my job, I'm extremely fortunate to get sent a lot of the cool new tools, and it never gets old. Like, I get static when I open, like, I'm a huge ruler fan. I love rulers. And so it never gets old. And I, like, even if I film, like, you know, not a, like an unboxing or like a talk about it, it's like always genuine excitement. Like, all I do get so excited about new tools. And I think that is like a treat yourself, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, you know what else? I have, and I think maybe you guys do too, personalized labels to put into your stuff. It's such a little indulgence every time I sew one into something I've made. You know, this is Kate Couture. That's what mine say.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh, is cute. I need labels.
You do.
I don't have labels. Yeah, well,
Who gives us our who do we get our labels from, Amanda?
I think we got some from Dutch Label Shop. That's it. Okay. Dutch Label Shop. And I...
Are they itchy? No, they're
like silky. Okay,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing I love about handmade garments is that there's no label.
Yes. Yeah, okay. I don't know. There is something about a label that feels like a treat. It feels like you finished when you got that label in.
Yes.
I have some for my business, and I also have some for personal. And I finally started using them in the things that I make for my kids so they, like, stop wearing their clothes backwards. Yeah. It's like, I should probably start sewing labels in those for you guys. So I do. Yeah.
What was that called? Dutch what?
Dutch Label Company. Dutch Label Shop. And there are a few of them out there now, but I've had good results with that one.
If you both use them and they're not like, I'll look into it.
Yeah, they're not like papery or anything. They're like
something new to shop for.
Exactly. And design.
Okay. That's a treat. That's yeah, you can treat yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say at least one of my favorite patterns, the up in arms blouse. Once it's made, it's really hard for me to tell the front from the back. I always put labels into that one. So it's easy to, except for one of them. I have the first one I made, I never put a label in, and I have to like very carefully line up the shoulder seams and make sure I can see which one scoops lower. So I know which one is the front. And every time I do it, I'm like, I have got to put a label in this. And then I never do.
I am that way with like every single Ogden cami I've ever made. And I think I just often probably wear them backwards and it's probably okay, but I should probably put labels in them. Might be helpful.
Yeah. For my Ogden cami, I just did a straight stitch down the lining of the center back. Yep. So I just always look inside. But that's one that
so tricky.
I did that after the fact.
Yep.
So labels will fix that.
Yes,
exactly. Wow.
Yes.
Treat yourself.
And as a side note, if you don't actually want to buy labels, you could also take like a little bit of ribbon and sew it into the back just to indicate just a tip for anybody who doesn't already know that. So
let's hop back on over to the questions that were actually on the list for y'all. And I'm curious, I think we've probably heard a little bit about some of these already, but what are your favorite treat yourself projects that you have made?
Well, I've already talked about several of mine, like my Bridgerton dress. One of them actually, though, it just keeps kind of popping up in my mind. It actually is something that I made for the magazine. Many years ago, we did a little black dress feature. And we all made a little black dress, of our own style. And I got, it was actually not black, it was kind of a purplish brown, but I got a silk dupioni for the dress that I made.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a like sky blue beaded ribbon to put around the, it was Empire waisted, and then I put that around the rib cage, the waistline, which was my rib cage. And I just really loved that one. I loved working with the dupioni. I love working with silk dupioni. Wow, do I ever. And it was cute. It's still cute. I'm not sure I can fit into it since COVID, but just a really nice little dress. I took the pattern was the Josie sundress. And I'm going to have to look up to figure out who made that because I can't remember off the top of my head.
Christine Haynes.
Christine Haynes. Thank you, Amanda.
Yeah.
I lengthened it because the regular pattern was a little short for me, and I adjusted the top a little bit to fit myself a little better. And so I felt really good in it. It fit really well. And I love that dress, and I love working with silk dupioni. That is always a treat for me.
Yeah. Because it's not as like slippery. It's still luxurious, but it's not slippery. It's like.
Yeah. Yes. It's crisp. Mm-hmm. It's crisp. It sews together really well. It presses beautifully.
It does press beautifully.
Love it.
What about you, Meg? What's your favorite?
I think I'm like obligated to say like my wedding jumpsuit dress. Like, I mean, that was
great. Yeah.
And I made it easy on myself. I didn't like, you know, it was a bit of a challenge a little bit, but it wasn't like totally. So I think I have to say that one. And that was like, it was a treat sewing it, because it was just kind of like this milestone garment. So
totally.
I have to say that.
Love that. I have two. One is my Ilford jacket denim trench
thing love
that I made. That. And the fabric was like, I think I got it either secondhand or it was not like nice denim or anything. But I think it was just one of those like just because projects, and like I probably didn't need another lightweight jacket because Colorado. And I didn't really need a trench coat made of denim, but I wanted it and I made it for myself, and it was like turned out exactly how I wanted it to look and how it looked in my head. And whenever I wear that, I feel so cool. Like, I don't know if I actually look cool, but I don't care. It's like I feel like myself, and it feels like a unique piece that is like, you know, it's just different, and you can't buy it anywhere, you know. It does kind of look like a denim lab coat, but I'm okay with it. other that I just thought about when you mentioned your wedding dress, Meg, is that I made myself a 40th birthday dress a few years ago. And
oh, I remember that.
I do kind of try to make myself something special for my birthday. I don't always get to it every year, but that was a milestone birthday, and I made myself like a full length Roscoe dress, totally hacked, with this really pretty black e-cat. And I don't know. I think it was one of those pieces too. Like, I didn't need it, but I made it. It turned out how it looked in my head. And it just feels like one of my signature pieces. I don't know if that's actually a thing, but it feels like me. And like whenever I wear it now, it just feels kind of, there's like a little bit of magic in it. I don't know.
It has like gold on it too. It's like black and gold, isn't it?
Black and gold and white. And it's got tears, and it's, you know, big and loose, and you can wear it in the summer. You can layer it up. I don't know. There's something about that dress that it just came together really easily, and I love it. So I don't know. That feels different than treat yourself, but I was treating myself when I made it. So,
and using a pattern that you like sew a million times, so you didn't have to think about it. Yeah.
There was like a little bit of math involved. So with the like ruffled tears and everything, but that one in particular stands out. Anything that you haven't gotten to yet in terms of a treat yourself project? Mine is sewing some more jeans, like. That would be a really lovely thing for me to do for myself at this point, and I just haven't made time for it. How about y'all?
Mine is using that ever-present pink and white silk jacquard to make I want to make a jacket that looks like a jacket I have in my closet that I don't fit anymore. And I've talked about it before. I need to pull the pattern. I need to size it up. I need to do all of this stuff in order to do it. But if I ever actually get to wear that jacket, I'm going to feel so pretty.
I really want to make, and I mean, clock's ticking, but I really want to make a birthing gown.
Yeah.
Because I know they give you gowns at the hall, but it's like, you know, I see so many like cute ones, and you know, you can pack, and I just really want to make one just so I can have like something I made with me, you know, in the hospital that's like super cute, and I can wear it after. I don't know. So I really want to make one. And they're like robe, like are easy to make. So.
Is it essentially a robe?
Yeah.
I feel like that's really useful, because I don't think I took one the first time. I think I just wore like a hospital gown, and it was not that nursing friendly. like, which is right. kind of like they should probably fix that. But I feel like that could be a need. It could be a need.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. And like I spend a lot of time in rope. It's like the first thing I put on in the morning. It's sometimes days that I don't have any Zoom meetings for work, I stay in one all day.
Like, I love that. I love it.
So I just want like, and then maybe like make something like little matching for the bait. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. So because it's all about cute little pictures too. So totally. Anyways, I want to make a birthing gown. I have 2 months maybe.
Wow. We'll
yeah. see.
Oh my gosh, we're recording this on February 26th and I'm due April 26th. So exactly 2 months. We'll see. Well, again, babies don't come on their exact due date.
But yeah, true. It's
officially 2 months.
Yay, 2 months. That's going to go by quickly.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
One final question for y'all. And this is somewhat related to treat yourself, a little bit of a tangent, but I was just thinking about this might be a nice way to conclude. In what other ways are you kind to yourself through sewing? I feel like for me, a lot of it comes down to size and like sewing things that fit me through size fluctuations and also just my approach to sizing has been really changed by sewing, and I don't necessarily care too much about the number. It's more you know, about the measurements, and it's very practical and logistical. There's not as much I don't know, emotion attached to it anymore for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also realize that's not the case for everybody. So I try to be sensitive, but I'm really like, whatever, it's whatever it is. And also it varies so much between brands of ready to wear and pattern makers, like really try not to focus too much on that. But also, y'all know I've embraced the elastic lifestyle, and I feel like that's very kind to a body, and also making things with lots of ease that, you know, really can fit you as your weight fluctuates, which tends to happen to ladies more than others, maybe. But
I think for me, sewing things that I'm comfortable in, that physically feel comfortable to me, is important. And that's one of my kindnesses. I also am kind to myself by not sweating my mistakes, not worrying too much about, you know, this place isn't perfect. That's okay. That's all right. Nobody's going to be judging it. If they are judging it, then I don't care about them anyway. Nope. And not because I did have a lot of anxiety around that when I first started sewing around not. And I don't know if I've talked about my the crazy man who taught me how to sew and insisted that we draw our seam allowances on our fabric and or our seams, draw a line where the seam is supposed to go and sew on the lines. I know, it was ridiculous. And so it took me a long time to get over that. But that's one of the ways I'm kind to myself, is to remind myself, if you can't see what we say a few times ago, if you can't see it from 3 feet, then it doesn't even matter.
Yep.
Also, just one random little indulgence is I have pins with cute heads. I have pins with flower heads and unicorn heads and little chicky heads. And I love them, and that is something that makes me happy.
Yeah, the not sweating the, you know, mistakes is a lot harder. Like, it's easy to say, it's really hard to do.
True.
I'm trying to embrace that just more and more, just being like, you know, but I think similar to Amanda, it's just like, not even looking at the size, not just looking at measurements and just being like, all right, I want to, you know, make this, and lots of ease and elastic, and just kind of, even if like a sewing pattern says, you know, do a Hong Kong seam finish on this seam. I'm like, I don't really want it. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, sometimes I'm in the mood to do it and I do it, but sometimes I don't. Or if it's like, you know, press up the edge once and then twice, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to serge it and press it up once, you know? So some little things like that too. I just kind of be kind to it. Like, I just want to get this done, or I don't know. We're not changing my serger thread to match like perfectly. I'm like, this will do.
Close enough.
But, but it's a great question. Like, just being kind of kind to yourself through sewing, like, you know,
I mean, even just figuring out and spending time figuring out what you like, I think is like kind to yourself because, you know, it's, I don't know. I've thought a lot in the past little bit, especially as I started a business, about how I used to buy clothes and I just didn't know what I was doing. Like, I would buy a lot and then maybe from that there'd be like a few favorites, but they didn't. A lot of things never felt like me, but I didn't really necessarily know what that was. So I don't know. It's maybe treating myself too is like, I don't have to go shopping anymore, which sometimes shopping is great. Sometimes like secondhand store shopping, yes. Like, but shopping for jeans, not fun.
No.
Yeah, I don't know, but I feel like we covered a lot of deep topics, a lot of life / sewing, and that was really great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was surprising. I thought this was going to be kind of a light and fluffy topic, and it really wasn't.
No, it's deep.
We always surprise ourselves.
Yes, we do. All right, shall we take a quick break and then come back with our sew inspo?
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back. Now it's time for our Sew Inspo segment where we talk about what's giving us our sewing inspiration today. Meg, how about you start us off?
I'm just focused on nursery stuff, finishing up curtains. I bought one crib sheet, which was like, it was expensive. So I need to make more crib sheets because I have like really cute, like, and they're made out of like, just kind of soft, like there's some double gauze ones that I found. So I'm just going to make just like nursery stuff. And I just want to make some like baby projects too. So I'm just, sewing for baby right now and getting the nursery ready, which is just kind of super cute and fun.
Yeah. Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. And then sewing my baby shower dress, which is the treat myself. It's like, okay, babe, enough for you. Mama needs something too.
Totally. How about you, Amanda? What are you getting your sew inspo from?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I've decided that I'm going to take some time this early spring and sew some pieces for my wardrobe because I haven't been sewing as much for myself, and I'm okay with that. But also, I don't know. I think I really love sewing for spring and summer. I know I do.
Oh, yeah.
And so it feels really good to to dedicate some time to that. So I'm getting organized for that. I don't think it's going to be a massive list because I don't need a ton of things, but I've got some t-shirts to sew, and I'm going to sew one for my daughter as well. When I was organizing my fabric before the show, I found a bunch of cutout projects like tanks that I think I cut out in the fall. And so I think I'm going to actually sew those together. Like, it didn't make sense at the time, but now I'll sew those together. And I think I'm going to make myself a new camp shirt. I already have three. Oh. So it's kind of like, I feel a little conflicted, but I feel like I can find a reason to make it happen. And maybe a few other things. I don't know. Maybe I can't imagine needing another pair of elastic waist linen pants, but I'm sure I'll come up with a good excuse to make some too.
Oh.
Exactly. And I have an excuse for you to make your camp shirt.
What's that?
Didn't you repattern it?
I did.
So you need one of the new ones.
I do, to wear around and be a brand ambassador for myself.
Yes, exactly. That's why you need a new one. Easy peasy. Great.
Done. I'm putting a check mark by it. It's going to make the cut.
Yes, it is. So mine was kind of inspired by our conversation, and it's not something I'm going to do right away. It's going to go on my to-do sometime list because it's too early in the year for this. But I'm going to need to make myself another pair or two of Pagosa shorts for this summer. I love them. They're great. I need to find some linen and make some of those for sure.
Nice.
Not long, not complicated.
Yeah. I just thought of something. We are going to go to the beach as a family in May. Aww. I should probably make some items for that trip, right?
Yes, you should.
Okay. Now a
beach capsule.
A theme is coming together. This is going to be good. I was also thinking, we haven't done like a role challenge for ourselves in a while. And Meg, we'll probably need to wait until you're back at it and ready to sew again. But I would like to do that. Like, that little black dress challenge we did for the magazine was so fun. And it'd be kind of nice to like do that again as a little group and as a way to like, you know, inspire each other to keep making new and different things.
Yes. I love that.
Just putting it out there. Maybe for the fall.
Yeah. All right. That would be cute. I love that.
Yeah. Let's definitely put that on our to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Nice. All right. Well, that was surprisingly deep, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely thinking about things that I don't really think about very often. So
I know, right? Like, just thinking about like on a deeper level, like, you know, why we set, like, you know, it's nice.
What does it truly mean to indulge yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love digging in deep on sewing. I mean, I feel like it's our jobs as sewing podcasters to think further in depth than anyone probably else should about sewing and why we do it. But I feel like we do a good job of digging in. I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's important.
Yeah.
It's important. We spend a lot of time doing this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of treating yourself, I just getting texts from Julian. He goes, when can I start making the cinnamon buns? We're having cinnamon buns on today.
10 minutes ago.
Yeah, no, starting them now.
I said, yeah. Then, like, I said 30 minutes ago, I'm like, in 30 minutes, I'm like, all right, you can preheat the oven.
You're such a multitasker. I love it. You're so good.
I have said I'm having such a sweet tooth. Like, usually I'm more savory, but this pregnancy, I've just been all about the sweet food. Like,
All right. Sounds like we need to get Meg some into snacks. The kitchen so she can have her cinnamon rolls. So, thank you, everyone, for a wonderful conversation. And thank you to our listeners for listening. And until next time, let's sew.
Let's sew.
Here We Sew Again is produced by Amanda Carestio, Meg Healy, and me, Kate Zinard. Find us on Instagram at @HereWeSewAgainPod or email us at HereWeSewAgainPod@gmail.com. Our show website is shows.acast.com/here-we-sew-again. Thanks for listening, and now it's sew time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.